The 512th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Game Time, your home for the lowest priced last minute tickets. Download the Game Time app today and use promo code SGPN for $20 off. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Sign up today using promo code SGPN and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog to enter our bonus contest. Five winners will receive shirts, hats, and a $50 SGPN gift card. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today.
Heidi ho, Degenerinos. Welcome to episode 512 of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. This one's going out to one of our friends in the Discord, a longtime friend, Mac, who I think's Canadian. I get confused in there. I have to admit, I get confused by all you people, and there's so many friends in there. I think Mac's a Canadian, though, I think, and Gumby thinks too. But anyhow, regardless, Mac made some good money on the weekend. I'm not sure if it was thanks. No, it wasn't thanks to us. He went against. Wait, why am I giving this to him? He went against us. He went against our advice and won in the main event.
It was a split decision, though. That's a wild call all the time. Splitter majority decision bets.
Oh, that's right. That's what he called. He called a split decision. He picked the right Brandon by split decision. I think.
Yeah,
right?
Which is, I think it was split or majority decision, but it was 18 to 1. And I mean, maybe you should have just bet every single fight with split decision last night, because that's pretty much what it was.
Whoa, he just showed up in the Discord too. He must know. His ears are burning. He knows we're speaking of him. And yeah, this goes out to our friend Mac. Hopefully everyone enjoyed last night's UFC at Mexico City. The voice you just heard, not my voice, who I think I've been called the grumpy one. No, not me. The young, spry whippersnapper. Who, if you're watching YouTube's on the other side of the screen, that voice you heard, he had himself a night last night. Let me tell you, he did so good. He's even doing better than me this year, which people might think is normal, but it's not. Let me tell you, it's not normal. It's just normal this year. Anyhow,
he's ahead of me last year.
Every year. We've been doing this since 2020, I see, with my spreadsheet. But yeah, it's crazy. We've been here a long time. Anyhow, the man you just heard had himself a night. So, before we jump into it, I should warn people. Usually we're pretty agnostic on this podcast. I don't really care what you believe in, but this episode we're going to talk a lot about God, a lot about Jesus. We're going to kick things off with the Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland, who Jesus helped him out last night. Hello, Gumby.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Also, real quick, just because when we do this at the beginning of the show, it works way better than when we do it at the end of the show. Since you are listening here for the recap, right here is the subscribe button right down there. Go ahead and click that. It is much appreciated, especially if you enjoy listening to either our UFC episodes or our regional MMA coverage. Our regional MMA coverage is pretty much unparalleled. We'll be doing some of that tomorrow as well, Monday. So make sure that you hit subscribe. Even if you don't put the notifications on, it will not change your life at all, except for it will make ours better. And yes, Jesus did help me out, although I think the judges did help
you out too.
Yeah, him. I would say just for the most part, I think any of the other, while some of the scorecards were maybe not defensible over the course of the night, I think the right person, at least you could make an argument for the person who won the fight being the right person in all the cases. Like, maybe I don't necessarily think Felipe Dos Santos was, I think I got to go back and watch that fight to have a real take on it. But it was like close enough that you were like, I could see how that round went either way, and he could have taken it. Same with Royval versus Moreno. I actually thought Moreno won in real time. Maybe that was the fact that it was 1 a.m. and I was looking at it through rose-colored glasses. Like, I thought he won 1, 2, and 5. But, I can see how Royval won. I have no issue with Royval being the winner out of that one. Aguilar did not win that fight, though.
There you go. Episode over. Gummy just recapped it all for you.
I'm going to hit you with all the split decisions real quick. Exactly. Quillish didn't win his fight either. So, there you go.
And if you people listening are wondering what Gumby's talking about, saying subscribe and hit the button. He's talking about YouTube. You didn't say you're talking about YouTube, but I think people.
Oh, but I pointed so like they would have to know.
But if they're listening, they have no idea what you're pointing at. You're pointing at D's nuts, it looks like, when you're on the screen. You're pointing down. Yes, YouTube. Gumby is killing it on YouTube for us. And Yeah. He posted a video about a grandma fighter and it blew up. It went viral.
We're viral.
Which is probably, I guess, is a good thing to be. Now that COVID's pretty much, you know, not widespread, I guess it's okay to be viral once again. Yeah. We picked up a lot of subscribers. People like the grandma content. First, it was MILFs. MILFs was our entryway into that world that I didn't know existed on Twitter. I guess everything exists on Twitter now that Elon Musk.
Was that when you named an episode something with MILF in it? And then
all of a sudden likes MILFs or something. Yeah. And we got a bunch of porn people to this day, they still like our stuff. So
that's great.
Yeah. And now YouTube, it's the grandma content. Mm-hmm. Only one person got angry, like, didn't understand. They obviously don't know what this show is all about. Irrelevancy and nonsense. And that was a nonsense clip. But no, it came through. That pick, we'll talk about it tomorrow, but that pick came through as well, ladies and gentlemen. The guy may not know what you're talking about in the clip, but it helped make a witty pick for him. But that is regional, where Gumby kills. And this weekend was no different. So we'll talk about that tomorrow, Monday, because Monday is a regional day, sometimes Tuesday too, where we're sneaking some extra ones. But no, today is UFC, which apparently Gumby thought was a regional show. Because it was in Mexico, not at the UFC Apex. Maybe that's what did it for you, Gumby. But you treated this like your picks came through like it was a regional show last night.
They sure did. And I thought I was going to go 11-1 with that main event. You know, like I'd almost taken Brandon Royval for granted.
Yep, me too.
And so maybe this is the best entry point to talking about this.
Go right ahead.
Because, like, do you walk away from that fight being like, man, Brandon Moreno figured some things out? Or do you walk away from that fight being like, why wasn't Moreno doing more? Because I'm having a little bit of a tough time with it. Because in the moment, I was like, I think Moreno's winning, but he's not putting his foot on the gas. And then after Royval won, I saw a lot of takes being like, man, Royval changed the narrative around him. And I'm like, I don't know that he did, though. You know, like, do you give him any chance against Pantoja if they do rebook that fight?
No. He got the biggest win of his career. Well, we can't deny that. But did he change the type of fighter he is? I don't think his style, I don't think anything changed about him. Maybe mentally, you know, the fact he got over a hump, he beat a guy that beat him before. He beat a guy who's one of the greatest flyweights of all time, you could argue. He proved he could do it, you know. Mentally, he showed that he can compete at that level. Perhaps that's a takeaway here. As you're saying, the activity level, Royval, like, he threw 2.5 times more strikes than Moreno. So
he landed like 20 more punches. You know,
And maybe he didn't land as many, but he was far more active. Like you were saying, Moreno did not do enough.
And that's maybe why I thought in real time that Moreno was winning some of those rounds, is because I was like, the stuff he's landing is better anyway. Mm-hmm. Right. And I still think that too, you know, I haven't gone back and watched it, but like, I still think Moreno probably landed the harder shots in a lot of those cases, but you know, the activity wound up being more important. But yeah, like there was no moment where I was like, oh, hey, look, he's like way better at defending takedowns, or, oh, hey, look, he's, you know, better at fighting out of these clinches, or like there wasn't like an aha moment for me on Royval. He looked kind of like he always does, but just like maybe wasn't challenged in the way that you would imagine Brandon Moreno would challenge you. And hey, maybe it's the elevation. Maybe it was that Moreno knew he didn't have the same kind of gas tank for 25 minutes. And, you know, maybe props to Royval for being ready for that kind of fight, because he did continue to, I mean, his output was almost 500 strikes in an elevation fight, which is crazy. And maybe that's the corner he turned, is he's just going to be, not that he ever had issues with output, but maybe he just like a super output guy. I don't know. I mean, good for him. He's probably next for a title shot now. But like, I don't know that I walk away thinking, you know, he's a changed man, you know?
Yeah. Do you think he looks like, what is 301 is the pay-per-view in Brazil? Is that right?
Yeah. Rumor
a couple
is,
months from now,
the rumor is,
so I don't know if he's going to be ready for that.
The rumor is that's what he wants. I saw
I'm
him.
Sure, he wants it. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure I saw him shake hands with Pantoja after the fight. And they seem to like be whispering stuff to one another. I don't know if any of the cameras caught what they said, but it seems like there's some sort of verbal agreement there. they badly need a 301 headliner. It's been rumored that it was going to be Pantoja. Paeta was rumored for it, but then they had to back him up to 300. So, yeah, I assume it's going to be him. I would say if his knee is bad, because his knee was looked pretty bad in the post-fight. He was doing a table interview with Chiesa and Senko and somebody else. And he was in a chair. Like, the rest of them were at that standing desk, and they had to, like, wheel him in. Certainly it's not a good look for fighting in 2 months. No. But if they don't, you know, probably Pantoja versus Manil Cape. Cape seemingly ready, right? Like, he pulled out of a fight, but seemingly looking for something. So maybe that's why we haven't heard any news on his front. Brovall seemingly gets another title shot out of this.
Yeah, well, we'll see. Like I've said before, and as we've seen before, it's all about timing. And especially if he's not, you know, going to be ready in, you know, a few weeks or you know, a couple months, then we'll have to see. I would be far more excited about one of the younger up and coming guys to get a shot.
Is there any of them that are there yet? You know what I mean?
No. Because, like, if you, but Roy Ball's not there either. That's the thing. It's whether they want to sacrifice one of the young guys. That's the thing, right?
But I guess sacrifice, because at this point in time, Pantoja is going to beat just about everybody. But sort of my point about this is, it doesn't seem like any of them have the signature win they need yet to move ahead, right? Because, like, Amir Albazi was supposed to fight Moreno here. That was supposed to be his signature win that gets him a title shot, right? Manil Cape, was he supposed to fight Matthews Nicolau? I think he was supposed to fight Nicolau or something like that. Hasn't really had that signature win for him yet either. Mokaev is fighting Alex Perez inexplicably next. You know, like, Steven Ersig is fighting Matt Schnell again. Maybe not the fight he needs to move that far up. So, like, all of these, like, young up-and-comers, you know, the Tetsuya Tyras and the Ersigs and the Mokaevs, like, they're all a step away. They all kind of need that big fight before they can step into a title fight. So, like, would I rather see them? Yeah, but, like, how do you decide which of them gets it now? You know, Mokaev picks up a big win over Alex Perez, who's fought, like, three times.
Alex Perez isn't going to show up, so Mokaev probably will get the title shot then?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he'll be in camp already. Might as well just roll him on over. But, again, I think they're all just, like, a step away. So, like, I think you almost have to give it to one of these guys who are now recycled challengers.
It would work out well, you know, if Roy Ball could fight in a couple months, then it doesn't matter who wins that fight, really. And then one of the young guys hopefully will be ready, later in the year. Yeah. Cause they're definitely coming. Like, there's, like Dan mentioned, well, Amir Albazi 5-0, Tyra 5-0, Makaya 5-0, Manel Cape's 1-4 straight. Josh Vann's 1-3 straight. Like, Josh Vann's obviously the next wave, probably after the next wave, but Ursic,
he's probably the same wave as Tyra.
Yeah. I guess,
They're both like 22, 23, and like bunch of wins, fringe top 15 guys. Like, they're probably coming at the same time.
They are definitely on the way, but yeah, we'll have to see what happens, obviously, how it shakes up. But yeah, it was a good main event, fine main event, probably more competitive than we hoped, because we both were in on Moreno. Gumby had Moreno inside the distance as our fancy two-fight Hungry Man Jong prop. That didn't hit, obviously, but, you know, good fight regardless, whether you agree with the scorecards or not. You can't really, close fights, you can't really, you know, scream robbery or really complain too much, especially when the guy that won was more than two times more active than the other guy. Whether it was, you know, effective or not is the argument, but, you know, he was putting forth more effort, and that's sometimes all it takes to sway a judge and win a close fight. So Gumby's ready. He's ready for me to transition into an ad. I see him getting ready to click on it, and I'm all proud. Game time. I'm going to tell you about game time. Maybe you're like Mac and you won a ton of money last night. It's burning a hole in your pocket. You want to know where to spend it. I guess people don't keep money in their pockets anymore. It's all numbers on a screen. But regardless, you can move those numbers over to Game Time. You want to move too many, though, because Game Time has last-minute ticket deals for you. So even if you want to go to an event today, Game Time will be the place to go, because they are the place for last-minute ticket deals. Forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals and tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive flash deals and tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, and more. They don't mention MMA, but yes, MMA is on there. Even lower level, I'm not saying that derogatively, but even the LFAs of the world are on Game Time. They got everything. Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section in a row for less, Game Time will carry you 110% of the difference. As I botched that, 110%. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code SGPN for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code SGPN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Underdog Fantasy. Our friends at Underdog Fantasy are with us. And they also have a way to play alongside your favorite fantasy players all season long. NBA, NHL, soccer, college basketball, MMA, of course. They got it all. Simply pick higher or lower on your favorite players' fantasy stats and cash in. Gumby, I want to say I put you on the spot, but you know I do this every episode.
Yeah,
Gumby, what's your play?
It's so I wrote about the NBA for today, Sunday. Yeah. And one of my favorite ones is the lower than on Kawhi Leonard's combined rebounds and assists. I believe it's listed at 10.5, and he's only gone over that one out of the last five games. So let's take the lower than on Kawhi Leonard's rebounds and assists.
And that's for tonight's game, Sunday?
That's for Sunday night's action.
Yes, they are the late game against the Sacramento Kings. Yeah, Sabonis is going to hoover up all the rebounds, and there won't be any for Kawhi to grab. Here's something different. I'm not going into the usual part. I usually type a promo code here, but no. SGPN is teaming up with Underdog to give you even more of a bonus. Sign up between now and the end of the month, and five winners will receive an Underdog hat, Underdog shirt, and a $50 SGPN gift card so you can get cool swag like Gumby and I like to wear. Not Gumby's rainbow-colored bacon hat, but an SGP hat like I'm wearing. Sign up today, use the promo code SGPN, and then go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/dog, D-O-G, to enter the contest for your chance to win. When you sign up with the promo code SGPN, Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. This Underdog Fantasy promo code, I said SGPN, but how about we go with MMA SGPN? How's that sound? And then we will get credit and the bosses will think we're amazing, even more amazing than they think we are already. So MMA SGPN. You like how I spelt the word dog for people?
Yeah, I did. I enjoyed that.
It's because those damn rappers don't know how to spell.
Oh, yeah. D-O-G-G, you want to make sure they don't write
D-A-W-G. D-A-W-G.
Underdog.
Or D-A-W-G-Z, dogs. Who knows, right? All right. I guess we already did the main event, right? Split decision, yeah. 48-47, 46-49, 48-47 for Roy Ball.
46-49 is dumb, real quick. Juju Jamiro can
our buddy. Yeah, our buddy. There was some greatest hits. He was involved in a couple of split decisions. He wasn't on the wrong end of a bunch of them, but he was involved. Co-main event, this was a heartbreaker for me. Yair Rodriguez, first of all, Brian Ortega hurt himself.
rolled
his ankle. I'm like, okay, this guy is not durable. He's has one win in the past 5 years. He's been out for a year and a half almost. I'm like, this guy just doesn't have it anymore. He's not durable. He's jumping and hurting himself. And the first round or so played out. I'm like, okay, he's getting his butt kicked here. Yair Rodriguez way better on the ground on the feet. He was a little too much dabbling on the ground. I didn't like that too much. And eventually
I said he would.
Yeah, exactly. And then we get to the second round and Yair's happy just to eat up the whole round on his back, not doing anything, not trying to get up, he wasn't really getting beat up, but he wasn't doing anything either. And then it caught him less than a minute into the third round. He got submitted arm triangle choke. And then Ortega did a Husamir Paul Harris move and didn't let go forever. Like he was in a zone. At least he wasn't ripping someone's knee apart like Paul Harris does. But regardless, Brian Ortega came through for Gumby. This was a big win for Gumby, not just because it ensured that he beat me for the night. That's the main thing, I guess. But he had him at +140. That's a big hit for you.
Yeah, and I think that was my second underdog of the night too.
It was a very chalky night. But yeah, Gumby hit two out of the three underdogs that came through, and that was the biggest one that came through, I think.
Yeah, slightly bigger than Aguilar.
Right, yeah.
I'll just say this. Like, that has been, and I think I said it on Thursday, that's been the MO on Yair Rodriguez and what I've said is his biggest weakness for a long time. Everybody wanted to talk about Yair Rodriguez versus Abed Magomed Sharipov for, like, all the time. Remember when those two were, like, the two hot things coming up in the featherweight division? And they were, like, run them against each other. And I was like, why? So that Yair Rodriguez can spend 15 minutes on his back trying to throw up arm bars he isn't going to catch. And that's kind of how he wound up losing to Frankie Edgar. If you remember when he took his first loss and it kind of took some of the shine off, is he just like, he laid on his back and let Frankie beat him up. And like, it was different now. Like he's obviously got more tools now and he's matured a little bit now and his wrestling's gotten better, but he still has moments where he gets complacent and forgets that he's in an MMA fight and not in a jiu-jitsu match. And I think the Elevation definitely hurt him here. I don't know how much he trains at Elevation or where he trains all the time. I don't have that info directly in front of me right now, but like his cardio didn't look good. Like I think he kind of quit it there at the end. Because that, not that that choke didn't look deep, but he had a weird angle on it.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think he really had anything there. I thought he was just holding on to nothing.
Well, the announcers didn't scream that it was deep. So how would you have known?
Yeah. It was kind of like an arm triangle positioning, but like a rear naked choke grip. And then he was on his side. So like, I'm not sure Ortega could get the compression he needs to get the carotid arteries out of there. But I mean, like he taps, so I guess it's effective if he taps and it doesn't really matter, but like, it looked like Yair Rodriguez wanted out there. Like he didn't look like he was doing a whole lot to try to get out of these bad positions. And that will continue to be his ceiling too. Right. Because like, there are enough guys who wrestle at that weight class that he needs to do more than that off of his back. And he needs to not spend time on his back.
I was already had him versus Topuria in my brain thinking, oh, that'll be a fun fight, but didn't happen.
Ortega versus Topuria?
Is that going to happen?
Might. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah, Ortega didn't really show us anything different either. That's the thing. He's super tough.
He can wrestle. Yeah, he's super
tough. He can wrestle. He gets outstruck on the feet, which is...
Yeah, I mean, Topuria would just wipe him right out on the feet.
Yep. That's probably what we're going to get too, right? He's the biggest name and he's got to win now. They can probably put him into the fight.
As long as he didn't break his ankle before the fight. Yeah. I think it's probably him. And I hear people saying Movsarov Loyev, but like Dana doesn't like Movsarov Loyev. And then B, like, man, what's Avloyev going to do when he doesn't hit a takedown on Topuria? It's going to look worse than Ortega. I think Ortega's got a better skill set to fight Topuria. So I'm not really sure what's next. You got Max hovering around there too. So that could always be a piece of it.
But like I said, a lot of times comes down right place, right time. That's how Sean Strickland became UFC champion. So we'll have to wait and see when the UFC is desperate for a title fight and desperate for Topuria to fight again. But yeah, impressive. Ortega didn't just get through self-inflicted injury. We had a lot of those people tripping on the cage, getting their foot, like the very opening fight of the night. We had someone get their foot stuck. Moreno seemed to have tripped at 1.2. It seemed that was happening a lot last night. But Ortega battled through whatever happened to his ankle. Plus, he definitely got his nose broken. He got really beat up bad in the first round and then dished it out himself in the second. So kudos to him. Maybe I won't badmouth him as much. I'm still upset that he was ranked number 4 despite winning one fight in 5 years. But he came through last night. So no doubting him there. Another place that comes through, here's a transition for you, Hall of Fame bets. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. You can enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bets' revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot, which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets. To craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays, download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Anyhow, this was another good, it was a good fight. Top two fights were exciting fights. And this, that one, no different. Our man, Daniel Zellhuber, came through. This was the last win I had of the night, but Francisco Prado, what a wild man he is. He just kept coming. He was short notice too, was he not?
No, I think this one was.
No, he wasn't. Okay, sorry. Yeah, I was thinking he was going out at short notice, but yeah, he was a wild man. He brought it right to Zellhuber. You can see how Prado finishes everyone. Yeah, this is the first time he's, I guess he didn't win, but yeah, this is the man who never goes to decision except once. So his cardio held up is what I'm trying to say, but Daniel Zellhuber ended up solving the puzzle that Francisco Prado's aggression presented him. Came through 29-28, 29-28, 30-27. Daniel Zellhuber, I'm still high on him at lightweight. Young, big, long, solid all-around fighter, and gritted out a win here. A tougher win than you would have thought.
Yeah, I think the big piece for me is that he kept maintaining distance, right? Because we knew he had a huge reach advantage. He used that. you like seeing people with big reach and big height advantages use them, rather than like the Stefan Struve formula of never using it.
Yep.
So yeah, I'm high on them too. Not really much more to say. Lots of people you could match them with.
Yep. Another up and comer who looked really good last night. She bounced back from her first ever loss and a TKO loss nonetheless too. Yasmin Haregi. This fight basically played out the way we expected it to, right down to the unanimous decision, you know, 3 rounds to none. Sam Hughes, too tough to finish. Haregi, too fast, too young, too good at striking. And the, perhaps more importantly, the wrestling and grappling defense held up, did not get herself taken down one time in this fight and just put it on Hughes. It's the reason why she was the biggest favorite on the night, -480. And like I said, big win for her in front of her home crowd.
Yeah, that maybe the thing I'm most surprised about is just that she didn't get taken down. Mm-hmm. We knew her; she was going to be better, faster, stronger. Maybe not stronger, better, faster, hit harder than Hughes. But like, I mean, the fact that her grappling held up too, and it seemed like she even had the upper hand in a lot of those exchanges. That was huge for her. So yeah, nice bounce back. You know, I still think that Denise Gomes' loss is probably a little bit of a fluke, and we're going to see a lot better things out of Haregi than we are out of Gomes.
Just so fast and so young. The women's strawweight is really good. There's a lot of really good fighters in it. And flyweight, not as much, but still very, very good as well. And then after that, we can stop talking women's fighters. Too bad some of these girls can't be, you know, 20 pounds heavier, because the other division could use some of these up and coming, exciting women fighters. But nonetheless, I hope Sam Hughes sticks around as well. You know, she's
always fun.
And a good test for, you know, anyone seeing if a prospect is legit or not. So in the opener, this man may not stick around because he just got beat pretty quick here. we had Manuel. We predicted Manuel Torres would win. We predicted that he would finish. I predicted he would win via knockout, I believe.
Yeah.
I should have just said inside
the number was barely different too. Like, it wasn't even all that different.
Bad call by me, but nonetheless, seven knockouts, seven submissions now for Mr. El Loco Manuel Torres. Did very quick work on Chris Duncan. Duncan was the one who actually wobbled Torres. We thought it would be the other way around. This was basically, this was like a reverse.
Because Torres wrestled and really well.
Torres, we thought Duncan, what usually happens is Duncan gets rocked and then pulls out a victory. It was the other way around here. Torres got rocked, pulled out a victory, 146 into the first round with a rear naked choke.
Yeah, Torres looks great. Also, he's made 150K in performance bonuses in three fights.
Yes, sir.
And that's probably twice his salary.
Way more than that, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you get all the show and all the win money in there for three fights worth,
right,
you're probably talking right around 75K, and now he's got 150 from performance bonuses. So like he doubled it, which is incredible and good for him. And he was a fun interview on Top Turtle MMA. Didn't jinx him. I don't know what to say. That dude's dangerous on the feet and the ground. Man, we might be downplaying how good he is, because he should be. After dismantling Chris Duncan like that, he should get somebody pretty far up there, I think.
Yeah, he was yelling for that too. He was off Contender Series, so he would have made $23,000 his first fight, including sponsorship, and he would have made 27 his second fight. He's bonuses are saving this guy. Hopefully he gets a second contract now, and usually when you get your second, you're still only in the 20s, 20 and 20s, but still. Bonuses are saving the day for this man. Well, not saving the day, but making it lucrative for him. Maybe he doesn't have to like have a second job. Maybe he doesn't have to like change oil or whatever some of these fighters have to do.
He did say that in my interview, I asked him about if he did anything with the bonuses, and he just said that living was easy. And I'm like, damn, that's like good to hear, man. Like that's all we hope for our professional athletes.
Exactly. quote unquote. All right. So 3-2 for me on the main card, 4-1 for Gumby on the main card. So this is where Gumby really pulled ahead of me. Prelims, Jaoni Barcelos, the top two fights is what hurt me. This is where Gumby took me to the woodshed here. Jaoni Barcelos, rear naked choke over Christian Quiñones. He rocked him as well on the feet. So Barcelos looked good. I was thinking Quiñones would take care of the older man on the feet and a guy who has not fought that well, or at least hasn't had great results as of late, but it did not happen. 204 in the third round, Barcelos with the submission, -160, Gumby hit.
Yeah, I just think Quiñones, in the grand scheme of things, has too many issues with his wrestling defense. And while he did all right in some of these spots and really didn't start conceding things until he was rocked, the grappling defense wasn't great, wasn't there. And it's good to see Barcelos, who like has had a wild up and down career, sort of like find some stability in a fight like that. So, yeah, I don't know what much to say. We're not fantasy matchmaking Rowdy Barcelos here at 100 years old and 2-3 in his last five.
Yeah. Yeah. He saved his career more than likely. He was 0-2 going into this fight. Quiñones' problema is grappling, you said, right?
Yeah,
that's his problema.
That's his biggest problema.
Hopefully, not hopefully, I don't really care, but for his sake, hopefully he gets another shot here. He's 1-2 now in the UFC. All right, next fight I got wrong as well. Mendonca did not come through. He lost his split decision, but as Gumby said, Jesus, aka Jesus, he robbed us. Jesus Santos Aguiar, split decision, 29-28, 28-29, 29-28. I was too tired last night. I was not paying enough attention to really score any of these fights. So I'm not going to yell robbery. But yeah,
Gumby came through plus one. This was a bad one. And it's my dog of the week, and it hit, and I know this is a bad one. I gave Aguiar this.
You're owed a couple of crap decisions every once in a while. Don't feel bad.
Yeah, the MMA gods give it, then they take it away. But yeah, Aguiar won the second. He didn't win the first or the third. They raised his hand. He didn't think he won. He was like shocked by it. And I'll also just say this too. Oh, speaking of people whose hands went up, I got to go back to the main event. The main event. Yep. He said Brandon, and he got bummed because he forgot his name was also
Brandon. Royval got mad. forgot his name was Brandon.
So good.
That was fantastic.
Anyway, yeah, Aguiar didn't win the first or the third. Two judges gave him the first. I'm not quite sure how. I'll take it. But also, just want to throw this out to you, because stop me if you've heard this one before, Jeff.
That's a Smith song, but go ahead.
There were five people in the media who thought Aguiar won that.
Come on.
Sure dog, MMA Mania and MMA Junkie.
MMA Junkie is usually not.
They've been pretty bad since John Morgan left, but and it doesn't have a name tied to it either, so I don't even know who is doing that scoring. But yeah, the three Sure Dog guys in MMA Mania, it like
there you go.
Dude, it's the easiest guess of all time.
Yep. The next fight was supposed to be a flyweight fight. Both fighters missed weight. Our friend.
I heard that that's not necessarily Cherise's fault, by the way. I heard his. I heard the team of Lacerda said that they were not coming in on weight.
Okay.
They informed Cherise's corner, and then he was like, "Well, fuck that. I'm not cutting anymore." Then.
He cost himself some money, though. Usually the.
But do they find him if it wound up being a catchweight anyway?
It says they're both going to be fine, but no, I'm saying if your opponent says he's going to miss weight, then that's more incentive for you to make weight because you're going to get a percentage of his pay.
You would think so. I bet you he's just so done with Lacerda that he was like...
Not that Lacerda is actually making any money either. Daniel Lacerda got submitted, arm triangle choke. Second fight in a row. This one actually stuck.
It stuck out.
A 217 into the second round. Lacerda for sure. Like, I don't even have to look this up. He's the first and only UFC fighter to go six fights and not win a fight in the UFC. There's no one gets six fights without winning.
I think I know of one. Hang on, I'm gonna put the intern on it. I think I know of one, but he had multiple stints.
I didn't think of that part. You're right.
Yeah, I think his name was Ricardo Funch. I don't know if you remember Ricardo Funch.
No.
Let's see. 1-2. Oh no, he only lost four, but it was different.
There you go. Still six in a row. He's 0-5 and 1 no contest. Five. I don't think anyone's gone five. Like, usually two and you're out. Maybe three. But he's gone six fights and he's getting cut now, right?
Yeah.
So he's gone, like, especially missing weight.
He's exciting, but like, his fight IQ is so bad. And we said that on Wednesday when he was fighting Francisco Figueiredo, and he was like, "Hey, dude, here's my leg. Go ahead, knee bar it." And then Francisco Figueiredo was like, "Cool, thanks." And then he did knee bar it, and then it was over. And that was Francisco Figueiredo's only win in the UFC. So, like, yeah, how can you keep Lacerda around at this point?
Charisse can go too, because he's got that stank on him. I don't think he's ever going to shake this Lucerna stank.
He's got good jump skills and like, yeah, can box a little bit. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's submitted multiple submission wins over Lucerna. One of them.
I'm surprised he let go of the submission. I thought he's just going to keep it.
Just leave it on. We missed our dog here. I said I misspoke earlier. The biggest dog that hit on the night was, of course, in the main event, Brandon Roybal, +240. But yeah, only three dogs hit. It was not one of the next one. We call him Puelas, but it's Puyes. They were calling him last night. Puyes said Puyno to winning the fight. Faris Ziam. They weren't saying Ziam either. They were saying his last name differently.
Zim.
At least I said Zim. Yes. Like, is this? I feel like this is all new. Like, we would have picked up by now. That's how you say these guys' names. But anyhow, Zim Faris took care of Claudio Puyes. Split decision. 28-29, 30-27, 29-28. Puyes was the outdated grappler here who was desperately trying to get a takedown. And when he didn't get a takedown, he was getting beat up.
He was also giving up positions on the ground,
yeah,
too. Which was,
he was
maybe
happy to
the
be
more
down there. So, yeah.
Yeah. It did look like his wrestling got better at the beginning of the fight. He might have tired a little bit there, but like, I was like, oh, his wrestling looks improved. It looks like he did some work away. The wildest part about this is that, first of all, you know, the judge who gave every single round at Zaim, I don't know about that. I'd probably give the second to Puelas, which is what Chris Lee did. And then weirdly, Raul Salas gave only the second to Zaim. So like the two judges who gave 29-28 scorecards in this fight didn't agree with each other, yep, on any of the rounds, yep, which is just like the nuttiest kind of stuff. And then to have the other guy at 30-27 is just, man, I don't know. Those are some pretty bad cards right there.
That's some MMA for you. Flyweight belt, Ronaldo Rodriguez, he goes over Ronaldo now. The lazy boy is what we like to call him. Took care of Psycho. Submission rear naked choke. 1 second left into the second round. Yeah, just younger, faster, you know, better all around fighter. Like,
good pressure.
And we
had great pressure. Yep.
And this was my lock of the week as well, -110. Fan of that hit. So there you go. Fan of that number in a hit. So what more can you say? Wait to see more from Mr. Rodriguez. Another flyweight fight. Felipe Dos Santos was harder than we thought, and maybe didn't win the fight either. It was split decision over Victor Altamirano, 27-30, 29-28, 29-28. Like we said, MMA is going to MMA sometimes. Santos was -298. Did not look that way, though.
Yeah, I actually probably had him, you know, you probably got to go back and watch. It's 29-28 one way or the other.
Yeah.
Because there were clear rounds for either fighter. The 30-27 is an egregious scorecard. And, you know, a lot of people are complaining that the wrong guy won this one. The 29-28s were fine. It didn't really matter what direction it was in. I was glad Dos Santos won it because I picked him personally. I also like him as a fighter. I think he's got a lot of promise. He looked really good in that Manel Cape fight. He actually looked a lot better in the Manel Cape fight than he did this one. So, yeah, like I'm excited to see him moving forward in the future. Those judges, judges gonna judge.
Yep, sure. And then things started off freaky, but it broke in our favor. So hey, we shall take it. Roman Naimov, the Hillman, it broke in our favor. Leg injury for Eric Silva. Stepped in the little crease between the cage and the canvas, basically got crumpled in and tapped out, basically, or verbally submitted before any more damage was done to him. 44 seconds in the first round. He tried to grapple a bit, got himself taken down, and then I guess whatever. I think they announced he tore his MCL, which is
not surprising.
Fun thing to do. A guy who just was off for over a year with an injury. Naimov, 3-0 now. We had him at -330, but not much can be taken away from this fight.
No, when I saw him throw that spinning head kick, I really thought it landed. I thought that's why
he stumbled,
Silva went down. And then on the replay, you can see Silva blocked it fully, was fine. But if you watch his left knee, you can see like that gap form in the knee that you can usually see when somebody's tearing something. I saw that and I was like, oh, and then he kept, you know, to his credit, kept trying to fight. And then that takedown really did him in. So, upsetting to see it end that way. I don't think we were going to see a different outcome anyway. Naimov's pressure was already starting to look good. Granted, it was only like 20 or 30 seconds of it, but I didn't have a lot of hope for Silva in that fight, but that's a bummer of a way to start off the night.
Yes, indeed. wasn't the worst of outcomes for me. It wasn't 9-2 like last week, 7-5. If I bet 100 in every fight, I did lose $191 or $192 because it was a very chalky night and I did not hit any dogs. Gumby went 10-2 and went made 445. So on the year, we are both at 39 and 32 now, both at 55% hit rate. But Gumby is only losing 7% of his money and I'm losing 11%. But don't bet in every fight. Don't bet the same amount in every fight, at the very least.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Gumby missed on his lock, Moreno. He hit his underdog, Aguiar. He missed Denzel Huber via knockout. I hit Lazy Boy as my lock. I missed on Puelles, I'm going to call him, as my dog. Torres knockout as my prop did not hit as well, but he finished. I should, like I said, should have done inside the distance. Neither of the halves of the Hungry Man hit. So that is that. As for the actual bonuses in the real world, Zellhuber Prado fight of the night, Ortega Torres performance of the night, 21,446 people were in Arena CDMX. And for the most part, they probably left happy because mostly, maybe not the end of the night. End of the night probably didn't end so well.
Well, the beginning of the night wasn't great either. The Brazilian guy got a weird decision over a Mexican guy in the second fight. I guess Eric Silva's Colombian, right? So that probably didn't bum him out too much. But I'm sure they didn't love the Tajikistan guy beating the other South American guy to kick off the night with a weird knee injury. Yeah, it didn't start or end good. And the middle was good for Mexican fans.
And they lost Raul Rosas Jr., who got ill right before his fight.
Oh, don't worry. He's fighting next week now.
Yep. He's fighting this week, which is actually good because we need some fights on this card, Gumby.
When I needed Jr. some dogs on this card, too, because I was looking at the odds on this next one. Yeah. I didn't see a lot of great underdogs on it. And now I got Ricky Tercios, who you can already bet that if I was betting them this week at elevation, now knowing that they have to change locales and Raul Rosas Jr. will be ill, I am definitely taking Ricky Tercios again.
Young people don't stay ill. What are you talking about? He will bounce back before you know it. This is one hell of a fight card, Gumby boy. For my mother's birthday weekend, they're pulling out all the stops. UFC Fight Night Rosenstrike versus Gaziev. For some reason, Saudi Arabia did not want this card. And they made the UFC. They said, you can keep this one. And so the UFC is putting it out of the apex. I will read the fight card to you quickly, and you're going to ask yourself, why would Saudi Arabia not want this fight card on their soil? A main event, Jarzinho Rosenstrike, 5 years past his peak, maybe, versus Shamil Gaziev.
What even was his peak, though? It was just throw big punches.
I think his peak, was catching Overeem a couple seconds left in the fight and tearing his lip off. I think that was his.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about it. He was losing that fight 4-0, too.
He was, we got undefeated heavyweight in the main event, so that's something, I guess. And Gaziev, light heavyweight co-main event. That's always a good thing. Victor Petrino, undefeated though. There you go. Versus Tyson Pedro, Alex Perez, Mohamed Mokaev. That's a good fight if it happens. Like I said, there's question marks when Alex Perez is involved. Matt Schnell, Steven Ursic. That's a fun one. Umar Nurmagomedov, Bekzak Almakan, so a squash match for Umar. Raul Rosas Jr., Ricky Tercios. That should be a weird, fun fight, hopefully. Eric Anders, Jamie Pickett. There's a perfect fight for the Apex for you. Middleweight.
That's not main event.
That should be a main event. At least 5 rounds. Vinicius Oliveira, Giannis Gamori, Javid Basharat. There we go. Javid's on it. That's good. Ayman Zahabi. Oh, he's fighting Ayman, though. That's not good. I like both those guys, Gumby.
One of them might be on my show this week. Top Turtle MMA. So I'm better listening.
I have a guess who, I bet. Loic Razhabov, Al Sawadi. What's his first name again? He's one of those
Abdul
names.
Kareem.
His name's so long. Abdul Kareem. His name's so long that Tapology can't even fit it on the main screen. And then Christian Leroy Dawkins versus Claudio Ribeiro. For weirdos like us, this fight card actually isn't that bad.
Yeah, the prelims are sick.
Yeah, it has some names like, oh, okay, that's cool. That guy's fighting. But yeah, this is not something you're going to want a paid audience to come and watch, or
I think you misspoke too. I think I heard you say Vinicius Oliveira was fighting.
Okay,
we know him by a far different name. And for some reason you said Vinicius Oliveira,
right?
That's Lock Dog.
Oh, right, Lock Dog. This is a big fight for people in our Discord.
It's Lock Dog.
Well, we don't really get. Whoever was spamming us, we still have people asking for last minute coming in asking for dogs. But
which is fine. But the
there are certain people who want a Lock Dog every week. Yeah. So the Lock Dog is fighting next week. The actual Lock Dog. So yes. It's yeah, this is a fight card made for us, Gumby, made for our discard specifically because it's got Lockdog on it. So
yeah, you know, you already asked me for a comment and I pull an obscure ass fight. Loic Radziwill versus Abdulkarim El-Sawadi.
That fight is sick.
No, that fight is really, really, really good. That fight would have been like a fight between two guys in Brave recently or something like that for a title. And you would be clamoring like both these guys belong in the UFC. Well, now the UFC actually signed these guys that they should have signed because they were trying to fill out a Middle Eastern card. And instead we get them in the Apex, which is weird as hell. And it's still a sick fight.
And there you go. A couple people in our Discord as they're listening here are nodding their heads and agreeing with you, Gumby, right? that's about it. Everyone else is like, who is he talking about? And yeah.
So why did he beat George Hardwick? That's legit as hell.
We have you've seen our numbers, Gumby. We have casuals listening to us now. Okay, it's not just weirdos anymore.
All
right.
No, I think we've found all the weirdos. Thank you, weirdos.
Maybe it's true. There are enough sickos out there, especially on the internet. All right, good episode. Wasn't total. We set up. Maybe this one won't be as long. Yeah, 45 minutes. Not crazy long, but there's always fun things to talk about, regardless. Regardless of how relevant the fight card was or not. All right. I mentioned Discord a bunch of times. If you're not in there already, hop in. We're getting new people every day saying hi and losing money with us. No, winning money. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. If you're into the Twitter, SGPN MMA, Gumby runs that for us. How's that for an endorsement? If you're into the Twitter, he's at Gumby Vreeland. And I'm at Jeff Fox Writer there and on Instagram, obviously our YouTube. And yeah, Gumby said this off air, but yeah, our comment section is pretty nice place there as well. Some reason we attract nice people. MMA is not really known for having the most friendly, maybe not friendly fans, but most stable
forgiving.
Fans, maybe
forgiving.
Forgiving.
They're
okay,
usually not forgiving, especially when you're telling them who to pick to win.
Right.
But then you guys here are like, you know, people are telling me bad beat and stuff like that. Like that's thank you.
Yes. So getting our YouTube subscribe, our subscribers are going way up because of the grandma content. So hopefully we can find some more grandma content coming soon. So that's obviously MMA Gambling Podcast, or search canned tuna recipes and you'll find us that way as well. We'll have to find if there's any other weird searches that are leading to us. Grandmas are looking for canned tuna recipes and boom, they're getting grandma MMA content instead. Right.
One of the search terms when I was pulling up, because I wanted to do research on why we got 10,000 hits.
Yeah.
And if you're listening this deep into the episode, you're now interested in why we got that many on that video too. One of the search terms that was searched that brought them to that clip somehow was how to make cocaine.
Oh yes, right.
I was like,
you told me that.
What, what the hell?
Well, a full gamut of people listen to our show, Gumby. So we'll have to be careful. As Michael Jordan would say, people who make cocaine buy shoes too, or something like that.
Or listen to podcasts too.
I'll paraphrase them. All right. Gumby's got a Top Turtle MMA podcast. He's already tickled you with a feather, told you he's going to have some people from next week's UFC fight card on his show this coming week. So make sure you listen to Top Turtle MMA, and then you won't have to listen to me that way. If you want to read my stuff, you don't have to listen to me that way either. MoneyMMA.substack.com. I will have another pick'em contest running for this coming weekend. Stellar fight night card, not UFC Saudi Arabia. And then of course sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/patreon, so we can crush corporate gambling. All right, tomorrow will be a regional episode. Problema, Jeff Fox, and Piero Ciccoli, Gumby Vreeland, will be riding beside me as well, and we shall talk to you then. Bye-bye.